Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Children's Church.
Chuck?
Children's Church.
Oh, Children's Church. Yes. Children's Church. Children can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for children. Amen? They're our next generation. We need to teach them and train them up in the way they should go. In fact, parents, it's our responsibility to teach them and train them. The church is a secondary reinforcement. Amen? God gave husband and wife, gave children to some, gave us seven. Amen. Quiver is full. God's blessed us. And we're still believing God for all of our children. Amen. They've been taught. They've been trained. And when they get old, they will not depart from us. They might turn away once in a while. But prayer can bring them back. Can bring the prodigal home. Prayer can change everything, good or bad. Amen? Well, again, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What's that? Oh, amen. Ducked down there and missed it. Before we get going here, last week, we had a speaker here, and word was excellent, but there was one part that had an issue with, and it was towards the very end. And this goes for the leadership in this church, okay? But there was something said concerning J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter series. Okay? Harry Potter is a bunch of witchcraft and sorcery and so on and so forth. I don't believe, or we don't believe, that she became a billionaire by God's blessing on that. Amen? Just to clarify things, okay? Just to clarify it. She did not become a billionaire with God's blessing. I want to just read a couple scriptures before I get going concerning witchcraft and sorcery and so on. I should have wrote them out, but it won't take very long. Deuteronomy 18. I'm just going to read them. You can write them down. You don't have to... Starting at verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, fortune teller, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all, really, God is really displeased just with anyone that does that. I mean, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Second Chronicles. There's a lot of scriptures, but I'm just going to read about four of them here. Second Chronicles 3, 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 to 6. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 50 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He went on and did carved images and, you know, but evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay? Anybody that monkeys with this stuff does evil in the sight of the Lord. God does not at all condone this, and we don't either. Okay? Galatians 5, Paul writes, Paul the Apostle, okay, Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that doesn't mean that person can't get saved, because that person, there are people that come out of witchcraft, sorcery, and all kinds of things, and there's nothing, there's no sin, no anything that God's blood and grace cannot take care of and forgive. Amen? Nothing whatsoever. So I'm just saying, God, if they don't turn, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? And just to go on, there's Egypt, Exodus 7, Isaiah 19, Jeremiah 27, Daniel 2 with King Nebuchadnezzar. There's Saul when he consulted the witch of Endor. He didn't want to take God's word for it to fight the Philistines, so he turned around and consulted a witch. You know, sorcery, what it is, it's an attempt to bypass God's wisdom and his power and his glory. Amen? So God has no tolerance, zero tolerance for that. So just to clarify that last week, we don't tolerate that either. Okay. Well, I'll get into this a little bit more, but I'm going to get into, I believe, what the Lord has given me. And my mouth is so dry. You're going to have to excuse me. Just want to ask you a question here before we get going. What do you think the purpose of the church is today? Any idea? What's that? Spread the good news. That's right. What a time to spread the good news, huh? Amen? The Christmas season, the Christmas season, the time when we should be celebrating our Savior's birth. Amen? There's a lot of other distractions and things going on out there. A big jolly man in a red suit. Ho, ho, ho. You know? But our purpose is to spread the good news, but we're to be a hospital. Yeah, we're to be a hospital. So what's that mean? That means that if people are hurting, if people are sick, if they're dying, if they've got problems, issues, again, pastor says, look at each other beside you and say, I've got issues. Because we are a church of issues. We all have issues. All right? No matter who you are or what you're doing, amen, we all have issues. And if you say you don't, then you've really got an issue. Amen? You really have an issue. You're denying your issue. So anyways, we're a church of issues. We're a church of whosoever. All right? A church is a place where the sick and the hurting can come and find peace of mind, peace of heart. It should be. Peace of mind, peace of heart, and Jesus Christ, period. Amen? Because He is the answer to all of our issues. All of them. Every single one of them. All right? We're to minister salvation to people. The word salvation is, well, you mentioned the gospel. That's good, because Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all, to every single person that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. Okay, the gospel is the power of God. That dunamis power, that Greek for dunamis or dynamite is dynamite. Dunamis power, the power, that exploding power that changes lives. The gospel, salvation, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation means to bring, if you want to go back there, you can. I just wanted to make a path there, but okay. Salvation is to be made whole in every single aspect of your life. So no matter what is going on, or no matter where you are, whatever you've been doing or what you're doing right now, God in the gospel of salvation can make, has made the means of making you whole in every way. Amen? All we need to do is believe that. Amen? God has delivered me. Drugs, alcohol, smoking, a lot of things. God is no respecter of person. He can do that for any one of his or anyone that walks into that door. We are to love. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little. Okay. Words, again, that can interchange with salvation, is to deliver, protect, to heal, and to be made whole. You know, there's a lot of sick, especially this time of year. There's a lot of hurting, depressed people. A lot of sick people. Depression is rampant during holidays. For lack of family, for a number of reasons. You know, but we should be a place where we can pick up that and take care of that and help people in that. Amen? James 1:5 or 1:15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick." Or the NIV says, will make the sick person well. Do you ever get burned? I mean, there's first, second, and third degree burns. Amen. And the deeper the wound, the more time and tender loving care it takes to get over this or to bring healing. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, Jehovah, he healeth the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. He stitches them up. To bind up means to stitch them up. The disciples would know that, being fishermen, a broken net, you know, they would stitch that and mend it up. And that patch would be stronger than the original. And that's what the Lord can do. He can heal the brokenhearted. And he can bind up their wounds. Amen. I went through... This might sound crazy, but I went through 3 engagements before I met my wife. I don't know. But I got saved, and I said, okay, God, my heart was just, I mean, I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to have a wife, when I got saved, I said, Lord, if you want me to have a wife, let me know, let me find her, let me, you know. Well, I didn't know it, but Laura, my wife, was kind of saying the same thing, I think, weren't you? Huh? But anyways, she's sitting up there. We met, and in 6 months we were married. Eight months we were married. God just worked out everything. But he took this heart, this broken heart, and wondering what in the world am I going to get married or am I going to stay single or what? But he gave me a wife, 7 children, 10 grandchildren, 4 greats. You know, so God is so good. And whatever is breaking your heart today, if you let him, if you come to him and just tell him about it and believe him, he can take care of that broken heart too. And he can do that. So, we're a hospital where people can get saved, where they can get healed, where they can be brought to all the fullness in every area of their life. Are you ready for an influx of people into this church? Are you ready to step up and help? I know this church, you know, there's people that are missing and we're praying for them. You know, maybe they're still at home. If they've gone to a different church, God bless them. As long as they're somewhere where they're preaching and teaching the Word of God, that's the important thing. If they're just falling by the wayside, you know, we need to pray them back. We need to bring them back. We need to visit. We need to get them back to the Lord. Amen. I also ran for 2 years from the Lord. And in that time, if you could say it was hell on earth, it was good, but it was hell on earth. I had everything that you could offer, the world could offer. And then I lost everything that I had. And when I came back to the Lord, God spoke a scripture to me. And he said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and in the end lose his own soul? There's a lot that's tugging on our hearts today and on our kids and all over. I'll tell you, there's the media, the internet is an open cesspool to anything and everything you could imagine. And it's destroying our families. It's destroying our kids. We need to believe God. And we need to get serious with God. And believe God for our families and our children. And those around us. Amen? We've got the words that lead to eternal life. As Paul said, you know, I pray that open my mouth that I would proclaim your gospel with power. Amen. Even Paul, as great a man as he was, he prayed, God, give me a boldness. We need that boldness. And again, this time of year, what an opportunity to share with people. Even if it's, you know, Jesus loves you. And he was born and for you. And he lived and died for you. So that you might have life. Amen? So, let's go on here. The first and greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Question. First of all, Laura and I, we pray in the mornings. I've shared this before, but I think the first or second or third words out of my mouth are, Lord, whatever's not of you, whatever's in this heart, search it. Try me. Know my ways, know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And let's get it up and out and deal with it And then fill me with more of you that I might become more like you. Amen. And open it when you say that. Don't say, you got everything but this little closet right there. Okay. No. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you view yourself? You don't have to answer that. But how do you view yourself? Okay. If you're having a hard time with yourself, identity crisis or just issues, or I don't know if the Lord really loves me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure about this. I don't think God has forgiven me for that. You know, I don't know. Well, let me assure you one thing. If you prayed and asked Jesus Christ into your life and forgiven your sins, the Bible says that as far as the east is from west and into the depths of the sea, I have cast your sins and I choose to remember them no more. So there's, if you know Jesus and you're having problems with who you are, He loves you. He cares. He wants to help you. You know, it's actually good to have. How many have, don't raise your hands, but just how many have at least one person that you can confide in? Again, you don't have to answer that. Okay, you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but think about that, okay? It's good to be accountable. Even a guy to a guy and a girl to a girl, husband and wife especially, you know, but pray with one another. Believe God for one another, you know. We are His workmanship. We are, first of all, redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if you're having issues of who you think you are or what you think or how you feel about yourself, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're redeemed. We're bought with a price. We are children of God. And of children, it says heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That means we're adopted into the family of God. And when you're adopted in the family of God, everything that is in Jesus is now ours too. Amen? We have all the rights and privileges of that name. So, we need to love people. But first of all, we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love Him is to be obedient to Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Love the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs says that guard your heart with all diligence. Top priority. If you had something that was really, really, really important to you, you would want to guard that, right? You'd want to keep track of it. You'd want to know where it was at all times. Well, guard your heart. I want to know where it's at all times. I want to know if it's serving him or if it's being distracted here, there, and everywhere. Okay? Guard your heart with all diligence, top priority, for out of it spring the issues of life. What's in here is eventually going to come out there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth flaps or speaks. Amen? Amen. Guard your heart. How does a person guard their heart? By taking heed to the word of God. Or in other words, doing what it says. Be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving your own heart or deceiving your own selves. Okay. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So what's going on in here is going to come out somewhere along the line. Who knows where? God does. Might not be the best spot, but that it comes out, but it's going to come out sooner or later. You can't hide. You can't hide from God. I, the Lord, know the thoughts and intents of the heart in Jeremiah. So whatever's in there is going to come out. So we need to guard our hearts by taking heed. How does a young man keep himself from sin? Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. By taking heed to the word of God. Doing what the word says. Right? So, in our own selves, we can't love anyone. It's a selfish love. When we get filled with the Lord more and more and more, I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. As we read his word, the word is a living word. It's Jesus speaking to us in written form. In written form. So that we can come and become more like him. And the more of the word we get in our hearts, the Holy Spirit can work with it. And it says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We love Jesus, it's going to come out as loving others too. Agape, whoa. Well, agape love. How's everybody doing? Okay. Agape love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Pretty much everybody can quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay, agape love, God didn't have to do this. God gave us a gift, his Son. Jesus could have said, oh, no, I don't think so. They're not worth it. No. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. There was a plan in action before we were even around, just in case Okay, back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was shedding of blood for the skins that they put on to cover themselves. But Jesus sent his son to die on the cross today, or this Christmas season, born of a virgin, lived as a man, God-man, fully God, fully man. Don't ask me to explain that, okay? But he was. He was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. So you can't say, God, you don't understand. Yes, he does. He does understand. Every single thing, there's an echo. Every single thing that we go through or might go through, he understands. And he's there to help us if we grab a hold of him. Amen? It's a voluntary commitment to another. You've heard the, anybody ever see Love Story? The old, old movie. Ollie McGraw, Ryan O'Neill, Love Story. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Wrong. 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 And wrong. Love means, I had to do this yesterday. I said to a, we got into a discussion and tried to point out a couple things, and he hung up on me. So I sent him a text message and I said, I'm sorry, forgive me. I love you. Never heard a thing. But you know what? It frees me, it frees actually him, hopefully. Because forgiveness holds, or unforgiveness holds a person in bondage. People need to be loved. They need to be accepted and they need to be forgiven. Unforgiveness. How many times should I forgive somebody? 70 times 70. So that means 490 times. 491 I don't have to. No. Nope. 5,000,090. 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, because if you don't forgive somebody, then our Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Forgiveness unforgiveness is a wicked thing. I had another situation when we were renting a house, and there was an issue, and I, to this day, I'm not sure what the issue was, but I came to the landlord and I told him, I said, I'm sorry if I have done anything that has caused an issue here. You know, please forgive me. He laughed at me. I said, okay. I did my part. You know, I don't know what, but you know what? They were going to sell that home. And it sat empty for a year. For a year. And they were building a new house. So they were paying for both houses for a year. God said, no, don't you just go and do what I want you to do. Ask him for forgiveness and I'll take care of the rest. Well, sitting for a year with both mortgages and so on and so forth. I mean, that probably put a hurt to him. Yeah. But it released me and I sure felt better. I don't know if he did. I don't think he did. But anyways, if people need to know that they're forgiven, not only by us, but show them where the Lord has forgiven them too. You know, again, there's nothing that God can't take care of. We just need to give it to him. Forgiveness. Do you ever feel like nobody loves you? Nobody cares? Well, there's one person that does for sure. That's Jesus Christ. He knew each and every one of us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And he has, it says, it was written, your plan was written there. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. No matter who or what you've done, he has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. God is always, 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 always thinking about us. Always. Even when we don't think about him, he's thinking about us. Because he has his best interests for us. His best. He wants. And the rest of that goes, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Of good and not of evil. Of a hope and a future. There's an expected end that God wants us to reach. And he is a covenant God that will stick to it to help us reach that. To help us reach that goal. It was like Paul was, I press on towards the goal for the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that he had in the past, he considered it garbage to know Jesus and to press on and know him. Is that our goal? To know him more than anything? Is that your goal? It's mine. I want to. I struggle. I'm not perfect by any means. You know, but I want more of Jesus. I want to be more like him so that I can share him more with others. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, that's God calling, I think. Ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative. We represent Jesus Christ. Christians, the word Christian was given as a mockery. Little Christ. Little Christ. And in the book of Acts. You know? Well, Christians is Christ. We're Christ-like. Amen? And I want him. Amen? Amen? There's a lot of people that need to know that. There's a homeless shelters that are going high. Amen. They need to know Jesus. Your next door neighbor, my next door neighbor, people I worked with. There were times that people would come and pray. Would you pray for me? Or would you pray because this happened, or my mom's sick, or something? They weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. But they knew us. They knew me. My brother-in-law worked with me for a while when I was self-employed. I did a lot of self-employed contracting, and I did drywall for 5 years. My brother-in-law helped me, and they called us the Holy Rockers because we would have our Christian music on, and it didn't matter who came in or what, they would hear Jesus. One day, a couple months later, one day, one of the girls that was a sheetrocker, finisher, she came in and she was very down. I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And she says, "My mom's got cancer. Would you pray for her?" Absolutely. Stood right there and prayed with her. But you know what? God was, there we go. Maybe I'm just, yeah, must be me. God was good that day. God's good every day. But he was really good that day because, you know, people are watching and they're looking. And they're wondering if you're walking the talk. And I was glad that we were walking the talk and had the opportunity. When I was with Customs, I had the opportunity to talk to people, even pray once in a while. I got blessed and they got blessed. I'd see people coming back that were missionaries and just get a chance to really chat with them. Wife and I, we've been to Africa. We lived there for 5 months in Tanzania. Laura and I, we've been back a few times since. A couple of our children that were turned one at the time, our daughter and our son that was two and a half, they both went back to Africa. So, I mean, but when I was in customs, the African people, the nationals that came through truck driving, they were so excited. I mean, I had a relationship, but I could be Mr. Customs Officer if I needed to be too. But we had a chance to pray and so on and talk to them about the Lord, and they even shared how they love the Lord and so on. But this Christmas time again, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would be really open to hear the Lord and speak to them about the Lord, and that the Lord could take care of their problems, invite them to church. You know, the worst they can say is no. Or maybe they might show up in 2 weeks. Maybe God will work on them, deal with them, you know. People need to be accepted and loved. Accepted for who they are. Walk in the door and no judgment. No judgment. And I believe we've got that here. But we need to keep that here too. Amen? walk through that door, no matter which or where or who, you are welcome in this place. The pastor says there's people that have been in prison. There's some that should be in prison. And those that are sick or drugs, alcohol, whatever, you are welcome here. We will not condemn you. We will not judge you. You are welcome. You are accepted here. But you are going to hear the gospel. You will hear the gospel. And that's right there. That's kind of why I mentioned that last week. Just to clarify some things. Okay? Love accepted and forgiven. People need to know that. Are you praying for this church? You know, we used to, when we were at Elam Bible Institute, people would get together, and there's some churches that I've been to that used to get together before the service start, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they believed God, and we believed God to move in this church. It would be good to do that. It'd be really good to have. You know, we meet together on Tuesday nights from 6 until 7 and pray an hour of prayer. But to come into a service where people have prayed for God's move and God's Holy Spirit to just fill this place and change lives and touch hearts, we need that. We need that more than what we've got. Amen? I'd love to see that. The worship team. Worship team is, you know, a worship team is to help lead the congregation into the presence of the Lord. And they're doing pretty good. But you know what? There's one thing about worship too. Worship is giving glory and honor to the Lord. When we sing a chorus or something, and we come down to the end of it, I know it's good, and I'm not pleased. I'm not putting anybody or anything down. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. You know, worship the Lord. Be amazed. The presence of the Lord. He's here. But I'll tell you, he can be here a whole lot. I mean, manifested a whole lot more. And just try it. Don't, when you worship the Lord, don't worry about the person next to you or what that person's going to think or say or do or, oh, you know, no, just worship the Lord. Close your eyes, worship the Lord. Let him be your focus. Amen? I don't know why I got into that, but anyways, our church is doing good. Love to see more. Love to see more people Amen. And I believe we are a place where people are loved. People are accepted. People are forgiven. And people can come to know the Lord and be touched and healed. God is going to do some mighty works here and around the world. I believe revival is going to come, but revival starts with me. And it starts with each and every one of you. If my people, not Joe outside or Sally outside, but my people who are called by my name, our name is engraved in his hand. He knows every single one of us. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift you up. Amen. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. There's a lot of prayer warriors. There can be a lot more prayer warriors. Jesus was always going aside, getting into a solitude place and praying to the Father. Amen. Seek my face. Turn from our wicked ways. Lord, whatever's not of you, please bring it up and out and get it out of me so that I can be more like you. Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Then will I hear from heaven. And I will pour out my spirit and come and heal this land. God wants to do a work through us. God wants to do a work through us. All he's asking is, surrender to me everything. And I will do that work. Pray for our country. Pray for those in leadership positions. In fact, let's pray for Elder Paul and Pastor right now. Just happen to think of, you know. So, Father, we just come before you right now and again in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just lift up Elder Paul to you right now. Lord, I pray that there would be healing in his body once and for all, Lord God. No more issues, Lord God. Lord, that you would be his Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And Lord, encourage his heart this day. Strengthen him. Strengthen Betty, Lord God. And Lord, just bind them together, Lord. They would be a husband and wife for you, Lord God, more and more. In a threefold ministry. Use them, Lord God. Father, I lift up Pastor today, Lord God, as he is away, Lord God, and he's seeking you, Lord God, that you would meet with him in a mighty way this day, even this moment, Lord God. He would sense your presence in an overwhelming way. And Lord, that you would just refresh him, renew him, strengthen him, pour into him your grace, your love, your mercy, your discernment and insight to deal with people and situations that he comes across, Lord God. We just commit him to you, Lord. Keep him safe, strong and healthy, in Jesus' name. Amen.